Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus in Edmond, Oklahoma. Last week, we were honored to have Mr. Dennis Leap here in studio to talk to us about the Child Rearing with Vision book, which he had a part in putting together. So if you haven't heard that yet, I would encourage you to go back to kpcg.fm or to thetrumpet.com or to whatever podcasting service you prefer and listen to that episode. Actually, next week, we're going to get into a book that he wrote, the Ten Commandments book, and that is also available for free at thetrumpet.com. But we're just going to get into that next week. Today, we're going to do something a little bit different, though. This is the first time we're not covering a book or booklet on the show, but it is still something that is in the literature tab at thetrumpet.com. If you go to the reprint articles section, you'll find just a wealth of instruction and valuable information in a series of reprint articles. The article we're covering today is titled, Is Specialized Talent God-Given? And this is from the late theologian and educator Herbert W. Armstrong, reprinted from the Plain Truth magazine of January 1982. Now, it's interesting, in these reprint articles, they're advertised under one title, but then you click on it and you really get your money's worth because oftentimes the reprint articles consist of probably two, three, or four articles all in one. We're just going to cover this first one, though. It's just a short one-page article, and I'll encourage you to read the other two or three in this segment or in this reprint series on your own time. So again, is specialized talent God-given? At the beginning of this article, Mr. Armstrong is talking about the renowned concert series that he hosted at the Ambassador Auditorium in Pasadena, California. He was at an outstanding concert, and after the event was over, he got to meet the lead performer backstage. He told her, "Such exceptional talent. Yet, as I remember Elbert Hubbard saying some 68 years ago, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration." She smiled. "Yes, that is true," she agreed. "If one has talent, one must apply oneself and work very hard to develop that talent." So this is really an interesting subject to me because I've had some experience teaching at our K-12 school, Imperial Academy, here in Edmond, Oklahoma. And there's also quite a few online students as well. And I had the opportunity to teach a class that is possibly the most dreaded. If you were to ask maybe 5, 10, 15 students what subject they fear the most, the majority of them will probably tell you it's math. I got to teach math, and so I had quite a few interesting experiences, probably more questions of Mr. Turgeon, why do we even have to take this subject? I'm not going to be a mathematician. I don't see how this has any value. Why do I have to do it the way that you say instead of doing it my own way? And of course, I had to answer all these questions, or eventually just tell them to stop asking those questions. But yes, math is very useful. Mr. Gerald Fleury himself has said that math is crucial to critical thinking and communication skills. Yes, you do have to do it a specific way because the way that you just invented is wrong. There's a reason the mathematicians themselves didn't come up with it. So a lot of arguments that I had to have, or at least rational discussions to try to get the students back on track. And sometimes they would say, well, Mr. Turgeon, maybe I'm just not that talented in this area. I just don't understand math. And of course, there's a lot of different things we could probably use this excuse for. It's not just a math problem that we're dealing with. You could say that about really any subject that you struggle with, any field that is difficult for you. Well, I guess I'm just not that good at it. Mr. Armstrong points out here, though, that while there are two factors that do definitely influence talent, a large part of it is actually under our control. So here, Mr. Armstrong is talking about the two factors of heredity and environment. So in some ways, our natural talents, if you could call it that, are really influenced by our heredity. That's talking about our family line, the people who raised us. Maybe they had particular interests and inspired us to have the same types of interests. Maybe if we're talking about certain sports, if our parents are built a certain way, then possibly we would take on a certain build that would help us in a particular sport. But usually this isn't going to be something that affects us our whole lives. I mean, at some point we have to make our own decisions about what types of talents to develop, regardless of what our family members like. The other factor that Mr. Armstrong talked about besides heredity is environment. And so this can kind of blend together with the first point of heredity. Environment's talking about really anything around us that influences us. Maybe some of our friends, or maybe the area we grew up in, or what kind of economic opportunities our families had, you know, what kind of social class we were a part of. Maybe that could influence what types of talents we take up. Certain sports or musical pursuits are a lot more expensive. And so maybe if we didn't have enough money for that growing up, we probably didn't get into that kind of a pursuit. So heredity and environment are the two points that Mr. Armstrong talks about that do have some kind of an impact on the types of talents we develop. And that really does start at a very early age. But Mr. Armstrong says here, yet the biggest factors in determining success or failure in life are motivation, determination, drive, and perseverance. I have outlined the seven laws of success as 1, the right goal, 2, education and training for that goal, 3, good health, 4, drive, self-propulsion, energy, 5, resourcefulness, ability to think about what one is doing while one is doing it, thinking one's way through to solutions, 6, endurance, stick-to-itiveness, never giving up, and 7, last in order but first in importance, the guidance and help of God through Bible understanding, prayer, abiding faith, yieldedness. These are all things that we control much more than we do our family line or the environment in which we grew up. We have control over what goals we set. We have control over the type of effort that we put into our education and training for that goal. We have control, for the most part, over our good health. Sometimes heredity can have a part to play in that, how healthy or perhaps unhealthy maybe our bloodline is. We have a determining factor in our drive. We decide how energetic, how hard we work. Resourcefulness, endurance, and the guidance of God, these are all things that we have control over. So that really does show us that, yes, while heredity and environment do have some sort of an impact on our talents, the vast majority of the factors are actually completely under our personal control. Mr. Armstrong writes here, of course, the number one goal above all others is to achieve eternal life in the kingdom of God. While most need an occupation to earn a living, at least the man of the family, yet the overabiding goal must be to be born of God. And regardless of sub-goals, this supreme goal must take precedence, and no other must impede or replace it. And this supreme goal also must be worked at day in and day out with persistence. One must grow spiritually in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One must continually overcome after complete repentance and faith and receiving God's Holy Spirit. So that really does give us the right perspective here. The ultimate goal is a spiritual goal. It's a God family type of goal. And this is a goal that we work at every single day. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16 talks about renewing the inner man day by day. So prayer, study, meditation, regular fasting, engaging in true Christian fellowship with like-minded Christians. These are all tools that we use to develop in God's character every day. And it's something that we have to do every day. And King David wrote about how he prayed to God three times a day, starting in the evening before bed, doing it in the morning, doing it sometime in the middle of the day, and really just having God's thoughts fill his mind all throughout the day. It's a constant effort. It's a day-by-day pursuit. It's something that we have to really expend all of our resources to get good at. It's not natural for us to have a strong relationship with God. We've probably all had mornings where we wake up and 100 things are running through our minds, and not one of those things is starting off the day with prayer. And that's why we need to start the day with prayer, because otherwise our minds are not going to be in the right place. We have to counteract where our minds are naturally taking us sometimes. And of course, if we're supposed to really be putting full effort into this ultimate spiritual goal of being a part of God's family, of course we have to put effort into these smaller sub-goals too. It's not just about praying, studying 12 hours a day. That's pretty much impossible for any of us who have jobs or must go to school or anything like that. There have to be other goals within our ultimate goal. Work goals, family goals, exercise goals, reading goals. And these are things to chip away at every day. Obviously, you can't read a 400-page book in one day. For the most part, most people I know probably couldn't do that or wouldn't even have time to do that if they could. It does take goals. My cousin, Jude Fleury, recently talked on the Just the Best Literature program about having reading goals, setting a specific number of pages that he wanted to read from a specific book every day. And sure enough, he's a prolific reader because he meets those goals, and those goals add up to many, many completed books. And perhaps maybe you don't start out a great reader, or you don't start out great at an instrument or great at a sport. But if you work at it day by day, if you develop a talent day by day and stay focused on it, not flitting around between talents every couple of years, well, it's going to be amazing to see the results of that. This applies not just to young people who question why they have to take a math class. What about you older people? Is it easy to say, oh, well, I don't really have a good memory. I can't memorize scriptures. I can't remember a lot of what I study in the literature. Well, maybe that's something that can be worked at day by day. We don't all just get born with outstanding talents. You don't just see the greatest basketball player in the world automatically able to do that from the time he's a year old. Now, these are things that are developed over a long time. There's a lot of focus that goes into it. That particular goal has to be a driving force in our daily lives. We can't just take weeks off from a talent we're trying to develop. Mr. Armstrong says here a little bit farther down the page, this again is an article titled, Is Specialized Talent God-Given? And you can find that for free at thetrumpet.com in the reprint article section. The Christian life requires the same continuous, diligent, no-let-up effort that a great pianist, violinist, or singer must exert. There is the easy road that leads to failure, but the way to achievement, whether in a profession or entrance into eternal life in the kingdom of God, is the hard, difficult, never give up way of persistent, determined effort and self-prodding. Most professing Christians think they have made it, most professing Christians think they had it all made when they received Christ. They had it no more made than a great performing artist had it made into world fame on first deciding as a child to become proficient in his or her profession. That's right. Sometimes it can be easy to think, well, I'm baptized now, I've become converted, life is going to be easier, I'm going to thrive all of a sudden out of nowhere. And really, that's just the start. That's what Mr. Armstrong is saying. That's equivalent to a five-year-old deciding to start playing piano. And once that five-year-old becomes the greatest pianist in the world in 25, 30 years, well, really the start of it was that choice he made as a five-year-old. And that's the same for us. Baptism is just the start, and it has to be something that we build upon day by day. Mr. Armstrong says, but is it worth the effort? Apparently, most professing Christians have never come to see how great is such salvation and eternal life. Sure, it's a free gift. One can't buy it. One can't earn it. The eternal life is free, a free gift by God's grace. Yet the great God of love won't give it to one in the pain, anguish, sorrow, discontent, and unhappiness produced by sin. Sin is the transgression of God's law of love toward God and toward neighbor. To live above that transgression demands effort. Yes, a price has to be paid. God paid a price beyond description when he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus paid the supreme penalty of death in your stead to make possible that free gift. And you have to pay the price of repentance, faith, obedience, overcoming, growing spiritually in knowledge and love and obedience and faith and endurance. So it is a life of effort. It is a life of striving and growing. It's the abundant life that I mentioned on Monday. It's not something that we just come to at the snap of our fingers. And finally, at the end of this article, Mr. Armstrong writes, Jesus said, "He that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved." Even though eternal life is a free gift, a price had to be paid by the giver. You may be saved by grace, but your reward shall be according to your works. In the parables of the talents and the pounds, the one who did nothing with what he had been given had taken away from him even that which had been given. That's why God's work tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So just a fantastic one-page article. Again, that's available for free at thetrumpet.com. Is specialized talent God-given? And I've had a lot of experience with young children asking me or telling me that they're just not talented in a particular area. Well, obviously, above all, we want to be talented in this most important spiritual area, and it does take day-by-day work. We don't want to just look at maybe a minister in God's church and say, well, look, he's really thriving spiritually, but I could never do that. I could never really thrive spiritually because I haven't been made a minister. They're just on a deeper level than us. And that is very true. They do have a special office, but it's not just something that happens overnight. It is a result of years of submission and obedience to God, and then God will give that office to a man in his church. And we can look at their examples and we can say, well, clearly they're putting God first. That's why God is blessing them. That's why they're a great example for us. They obviously are working hard. It's not something that just happens. And that's just a really good lesson for us, not just in the spiritual area, but in any aspect. If we want to get good at something, let's just put in the daily effort. That's what it's all about, putting in daily effort in worthwhile pursuits and really building toward that ultimate goal. Like Mr. Armstrong said, eternal life in the kingdom of God is the goal, but we have to have those smaller goals too, and we have to work at those. Rather than complaining about our lack of natural ability, why not put in the work to get good at certain things? You young people, why not practice some sports before you come to Philadelphia Youth Camp this year? Why not get competent in these areas so that you can enjoy the activities more instead of just saying, oh, well, I guess I'm not good at softball. I guess I just have to accept that. Well, there's plenty of videos online. There's plenty of people who could help you. All you have to do really is go outdoors with a ball, and you can learn quite a lot just by being outside. So let's just put in that effort. And like I said before, this article really gives you your money's worth. I mean, it is free, but it does give you your money's worth when you click on it, because it's actually a compilation of articles here. Is Specialized Talent God-Given is just the first article. And then there's an article by Mr. Ryan Malone titled, Do You Have Talent? And then another sub-article or a smaller inset titled, What It Takes to Be Great? And then finally, another article by Mr. Stephen Fleury, The Secret to Success. So you could look at this as your power-packed inspiration to developing godly talents. Well, like I said, we'll be covering the Ten Commandments booklet next week. So I hope you'll tune in then at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time. Until then, I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.